From the Ron McKeefery Podcast Network, I'm Isaiah Castilleja, and this is Iron Game Chalk Talk 2.0. In this episode, Coach Walls gives us insight into the role of an assistant athletic director, maintaining your integrity, and why she chose boxing as a way to unplug and focus on herself. This episode is brought to you by Play. Play is a company that I've personally been working with from the start. Everyone at Play works to help strength coaches innovate and find solutions for our profession. From flooring, weight room equipment, outdoor spaces, and everything in between, Play will collaborate with you to find what you need. They work with everyone from professional teams to high schools, and they've always made me feel important and a part of the Play family. Refuse second best with Play. Find them at play.us and let them know Iron Game Chalk Talk 2.0 sent you. All right. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for listening. Today, we have the assistant athletic director for athletic performance from the University of Louisiana. Prior to that, she was the director of Olympic sports at Baylor University. She's also had stops at the Citadel, University of Texas, and Wake Forest University. A big leader in our industry and just an all-around good person. I'd like to welcome Candace Walls. Thank you for joining us, Candace.
Thank you, Isaiah, for having me. I'm literally just a reflection of everybody that's ever poured into me. So really, I mean, I've been very fortunate on all those places you mentioned, just be really blessed with some amazing coaches I got to be around. Including you. I mean, it's funny how life's chances occur and we cross our paths. So thank you, Isaiah, for having me on here.
It's an honor. And I knew we had to have you on the podcast and just to talk about all your experiences. And you said, you know, you're just a reflection of everybody from, you know, before you and everywhere you've been. How has your experiences at Baylor or even at the University of Louisiana and, you know, the Citadel, how have you been prepared for your current situation?
Oh, man, you just dove straight into that, didn't you?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
No fluff on this, the world. Watch out, Isaiah will hit you with some big ones. Golly, I think everything in life, I mean, from your childhood to your teen years to the college you go to, it all builds on. I mean, I wouldn't even be in this field if it wasn't for a guy that I met in college that led me to the path of being able to go to Wake. So I would say every experience from anything I've ever done has kind of led me into this position. I think my childhood has made me very relatable because I've gone through about anything and everything you could probably think of, which if you're looking at me, you probably never guess it, but probably experienced it. And then when you go into career wise, like I said, oh my gosh, I mean, I've got to be around some legends and even people that wouldn't consider themselves that. I mean, so many hidden gems that I just got to have conversations with or got to be, you know, was very fortunate to have them and I can call them as mentors. And I didn't do everything right. I messed up a lot. I mean, if you think of a mistake, I probably made it, but they were there to help pick the pieces up and help make that mistake not be a mistake. It's like, you know, you have a great day. Something happens at the end of it. Was that day really bad or did you have a moment? And I think that's what our careers are made up of. So yeah, I would say being able to be around extremely great leadership prepared me for the position that I'm in. It made me think different. It made me to choose to look at our industry, I guess, more like a Fortune 500 company. I mean, we're working with multi-million dollars here sometimes at these universities. How could you not see yourself as a CEO? So, I mean, every little person that chose, including athletes, to pour into me, prepared me for kind of the spot that I'm in right now.
No, definitely. And I think that's important. And it's our mentors and our leaders, they have a big, big effect on us. And I think it's a very good thing to have those people. And then you had mentioned, you know, being the CEO of our business. And that's exactly how I see my program as well. Like, you know, we are a big business and I'm the CEO and our products, like our workouts and the environment and our culture that we have with our athletes. And I also know this, having worked with you on our virtual internship, the Merge, how important is it for these young strength coaches to know it's not all just X's and O's? There's so much more to our profession and our industry that goes into becoming like a full-time strength coach.
Oh, I think anything, the virtual aspect of it right now is teaching us that. I mean, it's literally caused us to be able to push pause kind of on life, strip away what's not important and what is. And I think the virtual realm right now, which a lot of people, that's all they can do, especially the young professionals, they're learning stuff that we didn't have the opportunity to learn because we were cleaning something or we were coaching something. So I think, honestly, this is a blessing in disguise. Not to say that this virus that is getting a lot of people sick and hurting people is a blessing. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is it's, you know, people always say you're giving lemons, make, you know, you make lemonade out of it. I think you have to choose to just think about it differently. And I think a lot of young professionals are figuring out if this is what they want to do quicker this time than going through 2 to 3 internships and then being hit into a full-time role to where, guess what? You're not lifting all day. Surprise. Like, cause I get asked that question so much, like, wow. And it's these, you know, mainly your athletes that are looking at you that, oh, I wish I had your job. I could just train all day. And I just kind of giggle and think, no, that's not it. So a lot of these interns, I think because of the virtual space, they're, you know, figuring out about the professional side of things. We're teaching them things that we normally wouldn't have time for. So they're really truly able to ask themselves, do I want to do this? Do I sacrifice the next 4 years of this? Or maybe it's not as romantic as I thought it was. So I think this space is really honing in on, we're way more than just sets and reps. And I think on top of that, it's forcing us as coaches to talk a lot more. Mm-hmm. I've had more conversations with other strength coaches throughout the country than I have in a long time. And whether that's because Candace is, I'm a social butterfly when I'm with you, but it's, I just don't pick up the phone that much. And I think it's causing us to have different conversation with our athletes too. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you how many athletes have just called me in the past couple months and be like, hey, what are you up to? I'm like, do you need something? I'm bored at my house. My mom's at work. I was just checking in. You good, coach? And I'm like, wow. So I think it's really pulled back the layers on sets and reps. And I think it's made us discover, guess what? We don't work with machines. We're working with humans. Like, some of my best conversations in my 12 years have been in these 6 months.
And I think that's so important. Yeah. It's just, unfortunately, well, everything we're going through, but also just to sit back and, like you said, you know, I've talked to a lot more coaches than I normally would have talked to. And maybe even talked to, coaches I've never talked to before. I wouldn't say we took it for granted, but it's always good to know, like, our weight rooms and our athletes and our staffs were, like, taken away from us. They're stripped from us. Then you get a really good understanding of, like, man, I really appreciated that. I really missed the weight room. And having worked with you and talked to you in the past about what kind of program and the culture you build, if I were to walk into your weight room, let's say when it's fully operational, and I were to observe you and your staff, what kind of culture would I see?
Oh, wow. Well, I think going into it, I definitely, kind of looking back in the past 3 years, this is the start of year 4 there, which is funny because I never in a million years would have thought 4 years. I guess in my mind, I thought maybe. So I guess going into it, I thought, I want to do this, right? It's going to be my program when I get a chance. And it's kind of disgusting, right? Like, that's a lot of I's and me's and, like, ooh, that's gross. We're in athletics. Isn't it supposed to be about a team? So I think the biggest thing I've learned, and hopefully what people see, sometimes I live in my own world, so some people don't join me in that world, so maybe I see it a little different. We all have different lenses on, right? I think the biggest thing that I would like for it to project on what we do, because it's definitely a we thing, I am only as good as the people that I work with. And I think it's another mistake a lot of us make is we say the people that work for us, right? That verbiage is used a lot. And I don't know if that's a reflection of ego. I don't know if that's an insecurity that people have within themselves. But one of the things I've definitely become conscious of is it's not my department. No one works for me. We're all humans. I own no one. And I think that's the biggest thing that I would love for people to see when they walk in is, it's a family environment. Now, yes, we're not all going to get along, but not all families do. You're going to have your ups and downs. But in the end, I think the biggest thing, and that goes for athletes, other coaches, coaches that are performance coaches, is we just have this atmosphere where it's safe. You're supposed to mess up, right? Like, we're humans. Nobody is perfect. But how do we react when people mess up? Are we respectful? Are we considerate? Because guess what? We're humans. Isaiah, like, you have kids, you have a wife. It would be insane for me to think you're going to be on all the time. But when you're off, am I giving you that benefit of why? Maybe something happened at home, and maybe that's why you're a little extra grumpy. So can I get that out of you? And I think that's the biggest thing I learned is I've got to make sure the Olympic director is good, the assistant. I've got to make sure the dietitian is good, their home life is good. Because if not, you're going to see that when you walk into a place. It's going to be chaotic. Right. So I think that's the biggest piece that I hope when people walk in is they see a sense of harmony and togetherness. And if something's missing, it's our job for somebody to feel comfortable to point that out. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm coming across a certain way and I've got to be willing to take that criticism. And I'm going to tell you right now, I haven't always done a great job of that. You know, people get defensive, right? So I hope that if something is off, they see that. And I hope they see some joy in the student athletes that are training. They see like it's a safe area, right? It's a safe space. We work our butts off to win championships in it. But at the same time, what we do is fun. We teach people to run and lift and be physical. That's supposed to be enjoyable. So I hope that's reflected. And I hope people see different personalities. I don't want every team to be trained the way Candace Walls does hers. Sometimes I'm a little militant, but it's given what that team needs at the moment or what that coach wants. So I hope when they step away from women's soccer and they go to men's basketball, I hope they see something different. I hope that they see our principles are the same. But if our director of basketball is forced to coach like Candace Walls, that's a problem. So I hope they see harmony. I hope they see different personalities. I hope they see fun. But above all, like, they just need to walk out and be like, wow, that was really high level. It was different, but why is it? And then when they feel that, I hope they ask questions. I don't know if that makes sense or answers your question. But yeah, I mean, I'm praying that's what people what people see when they walk in.
No, yeah, no doubt. And I think that's important. And, you know, this is the kind of stuff you don't learn in an internship or even as an assistant. When I, you know, worked my way up as an assistant, you know, when I became the head strength coach, I was like, I didn't learn any of this, you know, how to lead a team of your own peers, not so much like the team that you're working out with. Cause you know, that's easy. Like I'm the expert in the workouts right now. This women's soccer team might be coming in to work out and I'm supposed to lead them safely, but to communicate and work well and efficiently with your own peers, like other strength coaches or have just as much experience as you is definitely a challenge, but it's a fun thing.
It's so challenging. So challenging. Because sometimes you may be the same age as someone you're supposed to be over. Like when you're looking at it from that HR perspective, it can be uncomfortable. It's like, you remember what it was like to be an intern, right? And you walk in and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm the same age as this person that I'm coaching. Same thing. The higher up you go in the totem pole, you also may be 20 years younger than someone that technically, when you're looking at the HR perspective, you're the same, but you have to recognize and have enough social intelligence about yourself that you're recognizing who you're talking to. You're in the South, you're a female and you're 30 years younger than a head coach. I'm not saying like you have to adjust yourself, but just know the environment you're walking into. And you got to ask yourself, do I want to walk into this environment? Because there may be some things that are there that I'm going to have to deal with that maybe I don't want to, or, hey, maybe I love confrontation and I'm going to bust down that door. So I think you got to ask yourself when you're applying for these jobs and you're getting these positions, you're right, Isaiah, like it's a hard balance. Okay. You've mastered now at 26, 27, how to coach athletes. Now you got to master the higher you go up. How do I also master coaching coaches? Because there's a lot of ego. And then you've got males and females, you've got different races, different sexualities. You have to be equal with everyone. I know that's a way overused term right now, but you've got to learn to work well with others. And I always like to refer back to play in the sandbox well with others. If you didn't know how to play with kids when you were younger, what makes you think you're going to do it now? And I think there's just that balance and you got to check your ego. If not, you're going to feel defeated every single day. But it just comes down. We talk about it all the time on The Merge, right? Like, just be a damn good person. The rest will take care of itself. But dude, when you're overseeing other adults, that is even The Merge. Come on, Isaiah, how hard was that? But how many of us directors are on that? Yeah. Oh my gosh. Like, nobody's had to, like, I don't know. It's been crazy adjustment, but yeah, there's definitely an art to it that is not taught to you.
Yeah, definitely. It was unique. I know when it was starting up and we were meeting up and trying to figure out curriculum and you know, we got, you know, four directors in there and a director of nutrition, and we're all, I'm just like, you know, like, you know, you could tell we're the alpha dog for at every one of our universities, and then
yes,
got to come to work together. It was a unique dynamic, but you know, you stuck to your guns, and I always appreciated that, you know, about you and the program you ran. How would you say how important it is to know the administrative and like the HR side of things? We all have stories of what it's like to be like, yo, this is definitely not in the textbook. Like, this athlete had, you know, something happen at home, or I guess how to defend yourself as a strength coach in administration and within HR. Like, how important do you think that is? And how did you go about creating those policies, I guess? Cause you know, you have a very good respect for that sort of thing. And I've noticed that. And it would be good for me if I was an assistant for you to be like, all right, Candace is doing the best she can to be on top of like HR and administration duties. And, you know, that's one of the many hats you wear as a CEO of your program, of your strength program, is like, you know, you're not just the head strength coach. You're not just running team meetings, but you're always going to talking with your athletic directors. We're always going to meeting with the ADs and trying to figure out money or trying to figure out, you know, all that other type of information.
Yeah, I haven't always gotten it right. I would love to say, oh, I came up with all of it. But like I mentioned before, I've just taken from people that I've come from. And like I said, I've been very fortunate in my road on the people that I've come in contact with. And it started very early on. I mean, I was at an NAI school where I played ball. Really wasn't a lot there. So between Corey and myself, we tried to figure out what the strength world was. Went to Wake. I was very fortunate to work with Ethan Reeve. He had been in the field for a while, so I got to learn from a vet. So it was neat to learn that side. And then, you know, when I left and I went to Texas, I mean, that's one of the number one athletics programs in the country. I mean, you get into their elevator, it sings a fight song. Like, if people don't know how to work with money there, like, you've got to have no other choice. That is a multi-million dollar business right there. So I got to kind of learn the very basics there. And, you know, I wasn't the best intern there. I think I did the best I could for the lens that I had on at the time. Looking back, part of me wish I would have dove into that more, but I was 22. I mean, I wouldn't have been able to tell you the difference between squatting wide, you know, Olympic, but I didn't know. I was trying to figure it out. But I do remember some things like keeping your house in order, which was very big there. The eyes of Texas are always on you. So I think I learned very early on that someone's always watching you, whether that's HR, whether that's the media. So I became very sensitive to, I'm also a female in the field. I've got to watch what I do in my personal life, because if any time that's ever called into question, that could ruin my career. And I think all of a sudden, things that I didn't think about at Wake, because I was 20 at Wake and still an undergrad, it all of a sudden became more important to me at Texas, because I mean, it was brought up, it was talked about, because the eyes of Texas are always on you. So I think I learned that you've got to be aware of your surroundings and what you're doing, because that could follow with you, which got me thinking when I got to the Citadel, I used to go by Candy, right? Well, Donnell's like, let's go by Candace. If you want to be an administrator one day, do you want someone calling you Candy or Candace? And I'm like, I never even thought about how much your name makes a difference. And, you know, I still, preference wise, I'm like, I'm fine with Candy, but I get the point he was making. He was teaching me to be a professional. Mm-hmm. How do I want to be viewed? What narrative do I want to write? If someone sends in something with Candy Walls, what narrative am I sending them than Candace Walls, which seems so small? And I'm all about keeping individuality, but he brought points to me that I just didn't think about before. And then even down to your template, are there errors in it? You know, and when you're at the Citadel, you're run by GAs at that point. He taught us how to be the CEO of your team at the time. So like I said, I just so happened to luck into these spots. And then I got to Baylor and oh my gosh, between all those people there and how they ran things, then I got to see the money side. And I would laugh and be like, Coach Roof, that paper towel, it doesn't really matter. He's like, where's the receipt? And I get that now because that money has to be accounted for.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, we have people to answer to. And those $2 make such a big difference. And I think just because I was so fortunate to learn it slowly, when I finally got the chance to come into the role that I was at, I wasn't prepared. But every one of my stories built on. So yeah, young professionals out there, to answer your question, maybe you're in a place where you feel like you're not being taught that, time out. Take a break, take a breath, and maybe you are and you're not noticing it. The cleaning is just as important as the money. Like, you've got to be able to tie all those perspectives together. So, oh my gosh, like what we do here is legitimately a reflection of every little piece that I've taken and brought on. And then when you're bringing staff members on, you're not just bringing on their expertise on how to coach their team, but you got to remember they came from places too. So how can they get you better? Mm-hmm. And I may be in this for 12 years, but you're telling me somebody that comes in with fresh eyes and they're excited, they can't teach me something or be like, hey, Candace, have you thought about this? And I'm going to be honest, I've got to be open enough to take that suggestion. So I'm always growing as a professional. But it's so important because guess what? We don't get fired in our jobs because we don't teach squat a certain way, right? Like when you're really looking at the newspapers, you're looking at the articles, it's because of the people that we are. If you're really looking at why some people have been fired, Isaiah, does it have anything to do with their programming?
Nope.
It's mainly, well, they said this, they made me feel this way. I don't know. They didn't do things right. Like this always goes back to that person you are. And I think if you can figure out, because that's so important, how it affects you HR wise or to, like that. I mean, it's 2020. Look at what's going on in the world. Is it because this person's a bad CEO, they're being fired? Or is it because of the dumb comments they made at a restaurant to a couple that they just thought would go unnoticed?
Right.
So to me, if you don't know that HR point, you're wrong. And right now, it's not being taken lightly. It may have been able to hide in the dark before, but everything that's been hid in the dark will come to light at some point. And I'm going to be honest. No, I've not always done things the right way. I'm human. But can you admit to your mistakes? Can you ask for forgiveness and then live with those consequences? So I don't know. I don't know if that answered your question or I went on this crazy little rant, but I just think so much of that will affect the longevity of your career. And if you thought you got by with it, guess what? There's always a phone. There's always recording. Above anything, there's a memory. And people remember. It's that little saying, and sometimes quotes can be overused, but athletes remember the way you made them feel. So even if you were learning and growing, those interns that worked for you, they remember that. And I haven't always been perfect. And I know that, and I'll be the first to apologize for it. But you got to watch when you're working with people and not machines, it matters because people remember. Machines will forget. They break and you can throw them away. Humans don't. When you break them, they remember that. So right. Yeah, I think it's the most important thing, Isaiah.
Yeah, definitely. It's an important thing to know. And I think it's, like I said, it's one of those things we don't really learn, you know, when you're young, unless you're, you know, like you said, you're at a place like Texas where they're like, look, you're watching your every move. And there, I've been a part of some other teams later on in my career that they were like, all right, like we're going to be watching your social media like a hawk. We're going to be keep close tabs on you. You got to let us know if anybody wants to talk to you. But you had also mentioned in there, you know, you got to know where you're at. So you're in the South, you're a female, like you're younger than some of the coaches. What would you say to all the female strength coaches out there that are like, you know, starting out, or maybe they're well into their career, but they're fighting the good fight?
Oh my goodness. I thought you said you wanted this podcast to be a certain time. No, I'm just kidding. no, and I think this applies to everybody, not maybe just females or minorities, but you got to know your value. And I think before you know your value, you got to know yourself. You got to know what your why is. We talk about it with our student athletes all the time. Know what your why is. Know why the heck you're doing what you're doing. And if you don't know why, then why are you here? You know what I mean? You're just going through these motions of life without a purpose. And and everybody can look at it their own way. I believe that we're each here for their purpose. And I think even though there's several different ways you can get there, you've got to figure out what your purpose in life is. And then you've got to just shine that light and swing that sucker around and be proud of it. Know your value, know your weaknesses, know your strengths. And you know, a lot of the times I think people are misunderstood. I think they have the best intent sometimes in the world, but they don't know how to deliver it. And I think I've fallen victim to that. If I have the best intentions in the world, I want to make any place I've ever come better than what I left it. But I think sometimes my delivery may have just been off. And I think that goes with maturing. I think that goes with experience. I think that goes with definitely exposing yourself to people that you kind of want to emulate. And I think you've got to realize too, you then have to put your own twist on it. So I think you got to know your why. You've got to know what your value is. And then you just got to live it proudly. And you know what? That may mean that there are certain places that aren't just fit for you. And that's okay. I think there's a time to fight. And then there's a time where it's like, why? So if you're at a place and you just feel like you're spinning your wheels and spinning your wheels and spinning your wheels, you got to ask yourself, am I the problem or are they the problem? Will this be solved or do I value myself enough to maybe just move on? It doesn't mean you're losing a war. And I think a lot of us strength coaches are stubborn. I think we have that just stubbornness and grit in us. Why else would we put a bar on our back and squat 500? Like, why else would you wake up at 6 a.m. or 4 a.m. to be at a six session and grind it out? Like, there's a sense of stubbornness and we're just a different breed. I mean, I think the more you get into this, you realize we're a very small community. I know we think we're the only profession in the world, but we're not. But there's, and those that make it longer than 10 years, there's a very small percentage of us. So I think there's just something that's different about us. So that's such a great tool, but also one of our weaknesses. And I think you just got to know your value and know when it's time to just move on. And you know what's crazy? Sometimes when you end one relationship, whether that be an actual relationship, whether that be a job, it's funny how much this new piece of ourselves that we find. And just because you've been out of school for 20 years and maybe you're 40 and you've got five, like your life's not over. There is a fresh start. And that doesn't mean it even has to be in collegiate athletics. Maybe you go open up your own place. Maybe you go and move into administration. Maybe you flip completely and you go back to get your MBA and you're like, I'm going to go be the CEO. I'm going to go be a nurse. Like, I think we just all got to realize we're humans and we're all ever evolving. So be okay with that evolution. And your story may not look like the 10-year plan that you had, but is that wrong? And in my mind, if you're not always evolving, there's something off. If you're in the same spot you were 10 years ago, to me, my opinion, something's wrong on that. Now, I'm not telling everybody's got to have the dream to be the president and the CEO and the... Some people aren't built for that. Maybe you're just a really daggone good assistant. But maybe once you've mastered that, I don't know, go pick a hobby up. It doesn't have to be boxing like mine, but maybe you want to learn the guitar. Maybe you want to take an art class. Maybe you want to take a dance class. With all these TikTok videos, man, I'm telling you right now, like, oh my gosh, I'd give my right arm to be able to learn how to dance. Maybe that's my next thing. Like, just don't be afraid to evolve. Know your worth, know your value. And maybe your 10 years from now isn't going to look like everybody else's. And
I think that's great. And I think it's important. And you also brought up, you know, you will maybe you find something new about yourself. Like when you go on to start some new venture and much like everything you do, you're here, what you found with yourself going from, you know, Baylor to Louisiana is like you became a really proficient boxer. Like what a part, you know, how important is it for you to find that hobby or kind of like find something that's not strength and conditioning to, you know, help ground you and, you know, like how, what was boxing like that for you? And also like what possessed you to jump into a ring and go hand to hand with some other human being. And like, I mean, most people take up yoga or playing the guitar, but you decided to put on some couple ounce gloves and go at it. Like, you know, how important is it to have? And then like, do you ever get scared? Like some girl's going to like hook you and like, you know, put you to sleep.
I think you'd be dumb if you weren't afraid, you know, like, but that's life. And I think you've got, your hobby's got to match your personality, right? Mm. If you've ever met me, you've ever had a conversation with me, I think yoga, there's a time and a place for that, but it's just not my overall personality. We actually, for our COVID thing, we, our staff picked days, right? Like we had, oh my gosh, I can't even remember, Meathead Monday. We had all these different days, right? So the one day that was left was like a recovery day. Well, it just so happened that it fell for me. And I'm like, I have to be recovery Sunday. It's like, or slow it down Sunday. Are you kidding me? But it definitely showed me that that's not naturally my personality, which is fine. But it is something that you need. You need balance in your life. And I think that brings me back to your question. It's so important to find that balance. And I know I've been on a couple of talks before and I've talked about this, and I can just imagine, because I remember when I was, you know, young professional coming up, working two jobs to make ends meet and working these hours. And it was so easy, right, for the person in charge to say, be balanced, like go out for your 30 minute lunch. And I'm like, you kidding me? You call me when I'm on my 30 minute lunch. I can't turn my phone off. Then it's like the whole place stops working. At least that was my mindset at the time. And now I know what I know. I'm pretty sure my supervisors really meant that. But it's the lens you have on, right? The lens I had on at the time was that. And it wouldn't have mattered how they would have painted it. I couldn't see it because that's the lens I had on. So I know people are going to hear this, and no matter what lens they have on, they're going to take it their own way. But I do fully believe that we're humans, right? I think 2020 and COVID has shown us that we're a person no matter what. I am not a strength coach or a performance coach. I'm Candace Walls. I'm Candy Walls from Kentucky that comes from a family of four kids. I grew up in the middle of nowhere mountains. That's who I am. Anything beyond that is an extension of how I've grown and the person I've become, right? So I think for so long, I put these little blinders on, you know, like you see horses on the horse track, they've got the little blinders, and I couldn't see anything else but that. And I don't think there's anything wrong. You've got to have those stages in your life. But I think through that, if you can listen to maybe people that's come before you, it'll make it a little easier and more enjoyable. So you don't reach that burnout at five, because guys, look at statistics. We've got a 5-year burnout rate. Women, it's even higher. And I think if we learn how to sprinkle in those balances and joys of life, because life's the beautiful thing, it'll make us last longer. And to answer your question with the boxing, I just reached a point where it was a breaking point for me. And if you really look at the years, it was kind of funny because it was about year 7, 8-ish, maybe a little later that I reached it. I just been through a breakup, which no fault of their own. I'm going to be honest. I was probably a terrible girlfriend because I'm going to be honest with you. I was at work 24/7. Half of our dates was him waiting in the weight room for me to finish with soccer or to get this done. Literally my life revolved around that. And that's what I chose at the time. And I don't regret it. But if we really us, I mean, as I even think back, like you may be in a different situation than me, but when you're looking back on your personal relationships as you were coming up in this field, a lot of them are affected by it. Even if you're in a relationship with someone you started out with, how many fights could have been prevented if you were just a little bit more knowledgeable? You took an extra 20 minutes. You didn't bleed your work life into your home life. I think number one, that's got to be the forefront is your personal life. Like if someone dies in your family, are you going home for that funeral? If someone gets married, are you going to that? And hopefully, unless they're your aunt that's been married 6 times, like, you know what I mean? Like right. There's only going to be one of those. Like you don't get those memories back. And I wish early on I would have found that important. So boxing came because I had let those things slip through. And I finally chose to maybe not go talk to somebody, which if anybody is having those moments, like by all means, man, our brain is a muscle. Mental health is dropped in the crack so much. Like go talk to somebody. We lift all day and train those muscles. Why not that one? And I think I just needed something for me. Mm-hmm. And boxing, like one thing I've learned, because I've never done an individual sport, it's about you. Because if not, you're going to get your head whacked off. And right. It keeps you in check, right? Like you can have zero ego and do boxing. I think you got to have a sense of confidence, because anybody that walks in there without it, you're already beat. But it also humbles you, because another human being has decided to walk into that ring with you. Oh, Isaiah, yeah. Man, like I've said this before. When you walk in, I used to see people after like UFC fights and boxing things. They're like hugging and they're, I'm like, what? Dude, they just beat you. Like, no way would I ever do that. Nah, there's a different respect you have for a human that walks in that cage with you or that ring with you. You're sparring with them. You're fighting them. I already have a respect for you because you chose to glove it up and come in here with me, no matter the result. And then at the end, you can't run from it. It's just you. You either put in the work or you didn't. You're either good enough to win it or you're not. And sometimes you got some judging that'll come into that. Boxing can be a little shady, but there's no other truer form than that. There's not. And I didn't realize that. And part of me wishes I would have gotten into it sooner. Being 33 and just kind of starting a couple of years ago, age is definitely a factor. I feel things a little bit longer than most. I wish I was 23 and could bounce back. But Isaiah, man, there is some true respect and grit about just another human being that's willing to glove it up and go. And it's such a scary thing because I'm also not dumb, right? We have a master's degree. We're pretty educated. Yeah. I know the results that can come if I get too much trauma to my brain. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got a grandmother that passed of Alzheimer's. Like, I get brain damage, and that does terrify me. So that does make me train smarter, right? That knows that there's a short shelf life. But for right now, there's nothing else that can make me think of, Candace, take care of yourself in that sport. Because if not, you're not going to last. So I don't know, man, like a lot has gone into it, but I would highly encourage for anybody that's listening, if you don't have something, go find something. Doesn't matter what it is. You don't have to get hit in the face. The object of boxing is not get hit in the face, but find something that just makes you feel at peace where you can take an hour or so a day and give it back to that person, the truest person, yourself.
Absolutely.
Because there's only one of you, man. Jobs come and go. Athletes come and go. You get one shot at this life. You better take care of yourself.
Absolutely. I think that's very important. And yeah, I mean, you post all this stuff on Instagram. So I just remember seeing, I was like, oh, she's cool. She's boxing. And then you went into the ring and I was like, oh man, like she's actually going to go like fight another individual. And it says a lot of respect about you. At least you're willing to, you know, put it out there. And like you said, this is a chance for you to focus on yourself.
And you get reminded what it's like to be an athlete. Like, let's do the math on this. Golly, 33, which I'm obviously, most people like, can't just get over yourself. But okay, 33, I haven't competed in college athletics since I was 21. But yet I'm willing to go in and talk to a kid about nerves before a game. I'm going to talk to them about a game day situation. It's been a decade since I've been in that situation. Guess what happens with time? That fades. Your thoughts of what that was, your perception of the reality, that ain't the same. And these kids know that. But guess what I have again? I have the butterflies before a match. I have the, oh my gosh, I've used the bathroom 5 times and my match hasn't even started. I've got that. I can't sleep the night before. I remember that. So then when I'm talking to an athlete, it puts it in a different perspective. Okay, you want to talk about the weight room. Don't we get so irritated, Isaiah, when you've got, I don't know, let's just throw a sport out there, tennis or soccer. Coach, I can't squat today. My legs are trash. I can't do that overhead. It's really irritating my shoulder. Well, what's the first thing we go to? They're just trying to get out of it, right?
Right.
Dude, boxing, you know how much I used to love to Olympic lift and clean and like jerk and then snatch? No, even front squat, it will irritate my wrists now. So it's not maybe them making an excuse. Like, it's some real life thing. So how do you meet them in the middle? And it's funny, I've never worked with tennis, but I worked with them for the first time this year. Being a boxer, like your shoulders and your wrists are affected. Like when a girl's complaining to me about her back squat, I'm like, wow, let's go grab the safety bar. I got you, because I feel that myself. Right. And it just makes me program different now too. So I speak to them different. I program different because I've been reminded what that feels like. It's not an excuse. It's just reality. And we forget that because we're stuck in our books or we're on our IG or guess what? All we do is lift. Go learn how to roll, Isaiah. Come back and tell me how that bar feels on your back. You know what I mean? Like, it's just different. But yeah, so it's definitely helped me. It's reminded me and brought me back to the basics for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And I was a strength coach for some professional mixed martial artists for a while before I got back in the collegiate realm. And part of the thing is, you know, I would train them, get them ready for one of their matches. And in return, like, they would, you know, pay me with boxing lessons and like Brazilian jiu-jitsu lessons. And it's humbling, but like you said, it's a good opportunity to remember what it's like mm-hmm. to put your athletes in that position. Cause, you know, I remember a couple of times after a long conditioning sessions for one of my boxers, like I dropped my hand once and he just took his glove and just smacked me in the face. And he's like, don't drop your hands. I was like, I'm getting tired. He's like, you remember what it's like when you put me through this?
Oh, yeah.
And you're telling me, and I was like, all right, I get it now. Like it's a good, like you said, lens to put on and be like, all right, I remember what it's like to be an athlete, or I remember what it's like to be in that situation where like maybe I'm generally am tired or my wrists do hurt. And
well, then it brings you into nutrition too, right? Like how many of our sports revolve around weights? And then it makes you think like, wow, us putting a wellness committee together for student athletes to protect that body weight is important, because mental health is real and it's not talked about enough. And you know, you weigh your kids every day. Do you know what effect that has on them? Because I know as a boxer, I have a weight class I have to stay within. Right. I know how hard it was for me to cut weight. And at 30 years old, I'm a very confident woman. But then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't weighed myself. Oh, if I eat that, well, I'll be up. It's these insane thoughts, even as a mature adult. So I'm like, I can imagine if I was 18 to 22 and I ran track, right? How would that feel if I knew if I went up 5 pounds, how's that going to affect my 60 and my indoor? Okay, I'm a wrestler. I know there's a weight category I've got to fit into. It's a true psychological game. And something as simple as, well, my defense for it is I weigh my soccer girls to help them with soft tissues, right? No matter what my intent is, how is that still affecting them psychologically? That they know they've got to meet this. Or if you do have a weight requirement, they've got to hit. Like, that's a truly stressful thing. And then when you're talking about the female triad, if a kid's missing her period, like all these things, boxing has truly brought me to the core of them to help me recognize what that feels like. So yeah, between just the balance of my own life, but balancing it back to the psychological aspect, to the nutrition aspect, to all that, it's some full circle stuff. And I'm like, okay, God, I got you. I see what you did there. It's a truly remarkable and humbling experience.
No, that's awesome that you're able to find a way to not only take care of yourself, but it seems like it's really helping you develop into a better coach and, you know, a better person. And I guess this would be that I want to ask you one more thing and mm-hmm. then and we'll go from there. And I really like appreciate everything you've done so far and all the great advice that you've given all the coaches listening right now. And if you can pick up your cell phone and call Candace Walls from 6 years ago, what would you tell her?
Oh man, I love that question, because part of me wants to answer one way and then the other part's like, I'm okay with my life.
Mm-hmm.
I really am. I think it's a beautiful, messed up, extremely long novel that's just going to keep growing. Mm-hmm. But every single human, every single experience, whether it's good, bad, or ugly, I would even take it back to like Candy Walls from the mountains that hated wearing shoes, right? I'm appreciative for every experience. So honestly, if I was to pick up the phone, I'd be like, you're going to be okay. Like, everything's going to be fine. All these experiences that have caused you to maybe, and yeah, guys, I cry. Like, it's a true thing. I have emotions. I have great days. I have terrible days. I can be like, we were talking earlier, I can be a rain cloud. I can be sunshine. And I'm going to say, it's okay, Candace. Like, you're going to be fine. You're going to learn a lot from this. You're going to have some great experiences. You are very blessed and fortunate. Take everybody that comes and listen to them more. The one thing I would go back and say is let things roll off sometimes. It's okay. But it's a reason, season, lifetime. I truly, and that's not my thing. I stole it from somebody. There's a reason that people come into your life. some people are there for a season and maybe that's a longer lesson you got to learn. And then you have those people that are there for a lifetime. But if you can look at life in those lenses, I think you're going to be okay. But I would just tell Candace, it's okay. You're going to make it through. Enjoy every single moment of it. Learn how to maybe balance a little quicker. Cause you said 6 years, right?
Yeah.
And just roll with it and then own it. Nice. Own all of it. And golly, I can only imagine the phone call I'm going to make to myself 6 years from this point. Like, I'm not perfect and I'm okay with that, but I do know I'm in a legal place better than what I found it. I'm going to become better than what I was. Hopefully everyone around me gets that too. And if I've made a mistake, I'll own it and I'll ask for forgiveness and I'll move on. But I hope to God I'm not the same human in 6 years. If you are, Isaiah, I'm going to come up to Colorado and we can spar it out.
I'm not looking forward to those hands coming at me. No, I appreciate it. Everything's great advice. And I think that's why it was so important to have you on the first couple episodes. Cause you know, every time we've talked, it's very relevant and very almost profound of everything you say, just cause like you said, you own it. Be like, look, I haven't done it perfect, but my experience has led me up till now. And I think this is something that it definitely is good to help out other coaches. Cause I think, you know, we could easily just ask you, all right, you know, Candace, how do you program for your women's soccer team? But I mean, realistically, I mean, it's who you are and how you manage that, your teams and your own staff and, you know, how you built your career, I think is important for all the coaches to know. So I appreciate you, you know, coming on the podcast and sharing all this with us. And, you know, if any of our listeners wanted to follow you on, you know, social media or find a way to reach out to you, maybe ask you some questions or, you know, see if you can help them out, what's the best way they can get a hold of you?
Yeah, I'm a Walls, so like Walls Strength. So there'd be like two S's there. Sometimes that's messed up, but Walls Strength on Instagram. I mean, if you're looking to just see a bunch of training stuff, probably not going to happen. You're going to see like pictures of me hiking. You know, if I'll probably post something about this on us. It's not self-promotion. If anything, it's promotion of the beautiful thing that you're doing. I mean, you took a really great legendary podcast from a guy that has really just made some strides in this profession for us and you're keeping it on. So hats off to you for stepping up to the plate and doing this. Like Isaiah, I mean, to the world out there, Isaiah never gives himself enough credit. So I'll say it. I mean, I've been very fortunate to work with him for the past 3 months on this project on the merge. Like I appreciate you, Isaiah. I appreciate what you do. You're a very prideful and humble individual. So thanks for that. But, no, like you can contact me on Instagram if you want. I mean, I give my cell phone out. Klaus is like, Candace, you got to stop doing that. But my number is 254-749-1170. Feel free to text me. If I don't respond, Isaiah, I know you know this. I'm a terrible texter. Guys, I see it and I'm like, I'm going to respond when I have full attention. And then 2 days later, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm the worst human being in the world. Feel free to call, text me. I'm here. Send me a DM. I promise you, if I've ever in the past not responded, I am so sorry. It was not on purpose. But yeah, feel free to DM me, follow me. Yeah. And I mean, we're only going to be as good as we allow each other to be. I think right now you're stepping up to plate and doing that for all of us. So I appreciate it. But yeah, I don't know. If somebody doesn't call or respond, give them a benefit. But if they're those knuckleheads that are just not helping each other out, shame on them.
Yeah,
but definitely. We're only going to get through this together. So anything you need from me, let me know. I appreciate you, Isaiah, for bringing me on. I feel really blessed to be on here. So thank you.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, no, I appreciate it and appreciate the kind words and we'll definitely, you know, have you on again. Like, you know, there's definitely, we're looking to make sure we get as much information to help out all coaches, either they're young or they've been in it for a while, just to get that information out to them. So it's appreciated and we'll talk to you here soon.
No, thank you, Isaiah.
This episode is brought to you by Team Builder. Team Builder is the premier strength and conditioning app for teams and private facilities. Used by more than 2,500 organizations worldwide, performance coaches can write training programs online for athletes to access on their mobile app or where they work out in the weight room view on a tablet. Right now, when you start a 14-day free trial, use promo code CHALK, that is promo code CHALK, to access more than 70 strength conditioning programs directly in your Team Builder account, including 4 sports science questionnaire templates. I'm telling you, great people, great software. Check them out. Thanks everyone for listening. Thank you to our great guests for taking the time to share their experiences. Thank you to Play and Team Builder for being great companies that help our profession. And most importantly, thank you, the listeners. Please find us on social media at IGCT2.0. Find our show notes on wherever you listen to your podcast. Leave us a rating, comment, and subscribe. And don't forget to say hi. It's great to hear from coaches from around the country. Talk to you all next week on another episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk 2.0.